welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
Hi, Jennifer Curtin. How are you this morning?
I'm good, thank you.
Many thanks for joining us on the BFM Breakfast Show. What a week it's been. What a couple of weeks it's been since the last time you and I spoke. You know, we already thought that this year had been interesting and turbulent and gobsmacking, but the last couple of weeks have been spectacularly so.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
Are you having fun?
Yeah, well, I'm quite happy with the job that I'm in. you know, it does. So you wake up every day and you open the newspaper and you go, "Wow." Yeah, so I think they'll be disappointed, perhaps Labor, that they weren't able to keep their slate clean for yet another, you know, for a week after what had happened with the Nats, because now the Schroebeck thing is back on the, you know, on the agenda. And
for people who aren't aware what that is, just real quick, that's a guy came to New Zealand sort of thing, and said he was escaping certain murder at home or something like that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and he was not a particularly good character while he was here. He's been in jail.
With all the drug importing?
Was gifted this sort of permanent residency under discretion of the minister, Beth Galloway, and it turns out that it's been a real mess for him to defend, and now just this morning gets more new information saying, well, actually, we might have to deport him after all. So, you know, I think from the Prime Minister's point of view, it's just she'll be really disappointed that they haven't been able to sort of really focus on the policy wins that they're trying to get across.
Puts the government's professionalism into question, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does look like the minister.
Do your job, hey.
Yeah, you get lots of money. Do your job.
Do your job. There's got to be. I mean, I watched him, Mr. Lees Galloway, on the news last night, and he looked like someone who really had something unexpected had happened, and he was really embarrassed by it. What could possibly the reason he would have kept it quiet? The reason he wasn't able to tell people his reasoning would have. His decision.
Yeah.
Well, the reason he made his decision would have been privacy. It can only be one of a couple of things, can't it?
Yeah, it could be privacy because of his family. So his ex-wife is now apparently the person that's given alternative information that might be leading Lees Galloway to change his mind. But I also wonder if this is just pure speculation, that it's something else about the information that he can then give about the associates that he's had that might enable, you know, law and order people to do their job better. Who knows, right? But it's got to be something presumably quite important for him not to be able to justify his reason to the media.
But you're right, it does take the heat off National then, doesn't it, after the Jamie Lee Ross affair? Although there's a lot to discuss there still. The our report's come out, which is carried out by Blackland's PR's Mark Blackham and political scientist Geoffrey Miller. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so they've come out and Bryce Edwards wrote it up as, now that this Jamie Lee Ross thing has happened, we really need to look at who our politicians actually are and what they do for a living before they come into Parliament, and maybe they just don't look like they're the right people. And I suppose I have a bit of an issue.
I told them that, though.
Yeah, but I suppose I have a bit of an issue with this because two things that don't seem to completely hold. The first thing is that they're saying that New Zealanders don't really have very much trust in government institutions and politicians anymore. But what we actually know from the surveys is that the general population, their sense of, trust in government has actually gone up. And it's the trust of the informed public in business that has gone down. So, people aren't as untrusting, and they're evenly split on whether they trust their politicians. But we've always known that politicians rank kind of in that broader range of car salesmen and car sales people.
Well, this is what they do. They convince people to put their trust in them when the people have never met them.
Yeah, yep. But I suppose what I also thought about this report, which says that, you know, too many of the politicians are just political animals, haven't got enough life experience, and they measure the life experience as what they've done as a paid job, and they're saying it's gotten worse over the last couple of decades. But that's the same time that our parliament is looking far more diverse. And so what are we saying?
Are we saying
that we want them to go back? We want our parliament to look like it looked like in the 50s, right? And if we look at our parliament in the 50s, who was running the country then? And how diverse was their life experience then? And so I suppose it concerns me that we're jumping off at the Jamie Lee Ross incident into, oh my gosh, all our politicians, you know, because they don't look exactly like us anymore and do the kinds of jobs that we do, they shouldn't be representing us.
You see, I mean, Jamie Lee Ross has been a scoundrel, like historically, when politically, you know.
Yeah.
But he's not a vagabond.
And it doesn't mean that he's the rule, right?
No.
You know,
exactly.
So certainly he went into politics from a really early age, you know, 18 or something, and maybe politics is all that he's done.
People still vote him in. That's still the people that vote him in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's not like he's hidden. It's not like that National Party MP, the Chinese spy. It's not like he's made up a whole bunch of bullshit and just sat there and with a blank face and gone, oh.
That's my former colleague you're talking about there.
Oh, is it? Well, yeah. I don't mean to be rude, but it does.
No.
It does.
He worked at the University of Auckland for a wee while teaching international relations.
I bet he did.
Yeah.
Well, you know, but you know what I mean? Like, there's, you know, that's worthy of much more concern than Jamie Lee Ross's political, his desire to succeed politically, you know? It says in this report that it doesn't mention a lot about a culture. It just talks about sort of where people have come from. You know, I very, very quite blatantly was trying to allude to Simon Bridges yesterday when I spoke to him, that really, you know, we really need to know what sort of people are in the National Party now. You know, and I guess all the parties, you know, but after this particular thing, I don't care about the whats and wherefores of it. It's are you people as rough and dodgy as it appears, you know, after this, and they need to prove to people that they're not, and all politicians have to basically come out and say, look, this is not going to happen, and on our watch, in our camp, you know.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I think
check themselves, basically, you know.
And that's not so much just about the politicians. That's about the political parties and how they work as organisations, right? And so what we know over time is that, you know, those big party conferences and all the branches who used to be able to, you know, they had a mass membership and they could, you know, choose their people to go off and be on policy committee and so on at conferences and that sort of thing, that doesn't happen anymore. It's much more, the parties themselves are much more elitist, if you like, and very closed. So the policy gets made by a few and the campaign decisions get made by a few, and the membership is often completely unaware of what these sorts of, and it happens across the political parties, well, the major ones at least. You know, it's called this idea of a cartel party idea, you know, where it's really just, you know, the power brokers inside. And if the culture in there is bad, then of course it's going to, you know, spew out across the whole party and into the parliament. So it would be nice to see the political parties, you know, outside of parliament do some work on how clean and transparent they might be.
Right. Now let's talk about the upcoming abortion law vote. Anything of note there?
Well, I think there'll be some debate about which of the three models that the Law Commission has put out should be adopted. So a lot of the abortion practitioners want Model A, which is the decision to seek an abortion and have an abortion sits with the woman and her own health practitioner. And models B and C start to bring in alternative health practitioners who might still be able to to have the role to sign off on whether it's okay to have one. So that sort of layer of policing, if you like. So I think the discussion will, you know, we know Justice Minister Little's preference is Model C. A lot of the women who work in the health sector in the abortion area want Model A. Obviously, those who are in the anti-abortion camp want none of these models. But what we know is that the political parties look like they're all going to allow a conscience vote on this. And as I said earlier, our parliament looks completely different now to what it did in 1975, which was the cohort. You know, there are only four women in parliament when the 1977 Act went through. We have 46 women in parliament now, and while not all women necessarily have the same views on this, it's a really, you know, we know that at least three of the national women are very keen for the conscience vote on this because they don't think the current law is working.
Right. Finally, the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Yeah.
Floating to the surface again. I thought we'd sort of done all the talking about this. No, kidding myself, aren't I?
Well, it's been triggered, if you like. So the sixth signature came through.
The sixth signature has come through.
It only needed six countries to lodge their documents before it was triggered as a live thing, even though the other five haven't signed on yet.
Right.
And, you know, according to the papers, it means that our beef can start going, you know, exporters of beef will get into the Japanese market more easily. We can send fish to Mexico more easily, and we can send butternut squash. Yeah, butternut squash from Gisborne is going to be going somewhere now more easily than it did before. It doesn't really say where. Okay. But, yeah, so the trade...
The fish are going to Mexico, that's good.
So, I mean, of course, Parker's talking it up as a really important moment, and they're calling them, I'm not going to be able to say this properly, plurilateral agreements.
Dickens?
Yeah. So I suppose because they're worried that the WTO is going to fall over in terms of being able to hold up the international rule of law around trade because of Trump, this means that actually these kinds of multilateral, that they have to almost police themselves and be good little bunnies together.
Jennifer, thank you very much. Have a wonderful couple of weeks. We'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah, no worries.
All the best.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.